Action is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Monday, the Monday after beautiful Divine Mercy Sunday. Good to be with you on EWTN. And I'll tell you what, I was so glad that Doug joins us on Friday. Not that I'm not on their website quite frequently, but Doug reminded me of all the great programs that they were going to have this past weekend on the Divine Mercy. And Deacon Dom and I, after our Mass on Saturday, he had one of the vigil Masses, so we went out to an early dinner and came home. And I said, I want to watch this this special that's on the Divine Mercy that Doug mentioned. And so we watched it, and there were so many interesting facts about the image and about the life of Saint Faustina and everything that happened to her, and so many things that I didn't know. And I've been to the Divine Mercy Center in Poland twice on pilgrimage, and I think often what happens when you go on pilgrimage, which is why you need to get back to certain places if you can do it more than once, is it's so much information and it's so overwhelming at the time, you can't absorb it all. So it takes coming back, doing more reading, doing more prayer, maybe watching beautiful programs like the ones on EWTN to really get the gist of what happened. And I'm asking for your prayers this week because there are two big events going on, one of which is, as I mentioned on the Sunrise Morning Show, as I join lovely Annie Mitchell and the wonderful Matt Swaim every Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show. I ask for prayers for our Ave Maria Radio Pledge Drive. It's 25 years for us, and I've been there for 19 of those 25 years, which is incredible how quickly it's gone. And then also we have this weekend our Listening for God conference, which features many of the EWTN personalities, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, one of them. She's going to be joining me after the break. But so important to support EWTN and Catholic Radio because of the impact that we're having. If you think about the lies that are being told, and that's my main point of getting to this, by the culture. You just take a story, for example, of the situation in Georgia, where there's all this virtue signaling going on, where many of these companies who are pulling out of Georgia, who are claiming that the new voting laws that were passed are discriminatory, are taking their business into Colorado, for example, the All-Star Game, at a city where they have fewer minority-owned businesses and in a state where the voting laws are even more strict than Georgia. So you're not getting the full story of what's happening. You're not getting the reality. We know this has been true, especially with the issue of abortion, since well before Roe v. Wade. And we know that through Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who eventually converted to Catholicism was one of the biggest outspoken supporters of abortion, who put together lies that are still used by the secular media and the abortion industry today. So this is a very, very big week on many fronts. If we look at the Divine Mercy and what our Lord gives to us, we always have hope. Even some of the conservative media out there, they do a good job of covering the news stories in a much more balanced way. Some of the conservative outlets, many of which have been greatly attacked and censored, but they do their best to put both sides of the story out there to make sure the conservative voice is heard. They don't give you a lot of hope because they're just talking about all the negativity out there. But we have to remember we are an Easter people and we are a Divine Mercy people. And when you watch shows like you saw on Saturday night, if you were tuned in, you see the miracles, not just the image, but the miracle after miracle associated with the image in terms of how it was preserved and how similar that image was to the Shroud of Turin, which the painter at the time would have no idea of, or Sister Maria Faustina would have no idea of, right? And yet when you put the image, when you lay the shroud or the veil of Orvieto in Spain over the image of the Divine Mercy, how close it is, and just all these things that go on that are miraculous, remind us that, yes, we are an Easter people because he is risen indeed. And we need to hold on to that. We're going to talk about that not only with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, but also with our second guest this morning, the amazing Dr. Peter Kraft has a brand new book, How to Destroy Western Civilization and Other Ideas from the Cultural Abyss. Now, it sounds very ominous, a title, but what you'll find in this book are age-old answers to these issues that we're facing. There's nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. And if we think about all the readings that we're hearing right now in the church from the Acts of the Apostles, How do you take a band of frightened, pretty much frightened out of their minds, disciples, and then do what they're doing now as we're reading in the Acts of the Apostles? Because they saw the risen Lord, and they walked with him while he was on the earth. Now, they were forgetting about that when they were hiding still in the upper room, but then they had this, of course, the Holy Spirit moving in them, and then they saw, as we heard in the Gospels over the weekend, they saw the risen Lord. So remember, we are an Easter people. Despite whatever the secular world throws at us, they can't deny the truth of Christianity. They try over and over again, but it still comes out. All right. So just think about that when you're trying to support, decide what to support and where your money goes, that we always say to support both your local brick and mortar station and EWTN, because we work together to give you 24/7 good Catholic radio. So today in the program, we are going to be speaking with, as I mentioned, my dear friend, Donna Marie Cooper-Boyle, who's going to be joining me for our Listening for God conference. You'll find a link at AveMariaRadio.net for that. And then Dr. Peter Crave, How to Destroy Western Civilization and Other Ideas from the Cultural Abyss. And he puts a challenge before us, and I'm really intrigued. I mean, the book is great, but I'm very intrigued by Chapter 2, What Can Chicken Little Do? So we'll talk about that with Dr. Kraft, and then wrapping up with even more hope from the Bible and our Bible Lady, Gail Buckley, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So there's a lot of news, as you can imagine. It's a very, very busy news time in our world, and a beautiful homily from the Holy Father, Divine Mercy Sunday Mass at the official Divine Mercy Church in Rome. So let's see what's happening in and around the world, and even some good news regarding California and in-home worship. Let's check it out right now. Well, the Supreme Court saying California must allow in-home worship and prayer meetings. The Supreme Court ruling on Friday, the restrictions as well as rules restricting other religious events in homes must also be lifted. The justices who were in the majority went after the state for holding secular activities to a different standard than at-home religious exercise. The justices specifically mentioning hair salons, indoor restaurants, and movie theaters. The White House, meanwhile, being pressed on President Biden's creation of a quote-unquote commission to study possible reforms of the U.S. Supreme Court. Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters the bipartisan panel, as she described it, will examine a number of issues, including whether the High Court should be expanded beyond 9 justices. Now, the possible expansion of the Supreme Court is a hot-button issue that is fiercely opposed by both conservatives and liberals in some circles. For example, Justice Stephen G. Breyer on the Supreme Court said last week, advocates of expanding the Supreme Court to dilute the power of its conservative majority should, quote, think long and hard about the risk of making justices appear more political, as well as eroding public confidence in the court. In a speech at Harvard Law School last week, Breyer said that the court's authority depends on a trust that's guided by a number of things.
That authority, like the rule of law, depends on trust, a trust that the court is guided by legal principle, not politics. Structural alteration motivated by the perception of political influence can only feed that latter perception. Further eroding that trust. There is no shortcut. There's no shortcut. Trust in the courts, without which our system cannot function, requires knowledge. It requires understanding. It requires engagement. In a word, it requires work. Work on the part of all citizens.
Now, however, some on the left are waging a political campaign to pressure the liberal justice to step down from the High Court after he expressed those concerns. The call's coming, yes, in the wake of that very speech given again at the Harvard Law School last week, where he warned about court packing. The commission will deliver a report on the structure of the court in 180 days, according to the White House press secretary. The second Sunday of the Easter season, also observed as Divine Mercy Sunday, as Vatican Radio's Robin Gomes reports, the Holy Father marking that day with Mass at the 16th century church, Santo Spirito in Sassia, near the Vatican. That's the official Divine Mercy Church in Rome.
Lasciamoci risuscitare dalla pace, dal perdono e dalle piaghe di Gesù misericordioso.
let us be renewed by the peace, forgiveness, and wounds of the merciful Jesus. Let us ask for the grace to become witnesses of mercy. Only in this way will we proclaim the gospel of God, which is the gospel of mercy. This is the exhortation that Pope Francis offered in his homily at Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday. He explained how with mercy the risen Christ brings about the resurrection of the disciples and changes their lives. They received mercy from him through the three gifts of peace, forgiveness through the Holy Spirit, and his wounds, the Pope said. The Pope said, Jesus does not bring a peace that removes the problems without, but one that infuses trust within.
La pace di Gesù suscita infatti la missione. Non è tranquillità, non è comodità.
The peace of Jesus that awakens mission, the Pope explained, entails not ease and comfort, but the challenge to break out of ourselves from a paralyzing absorption and from the bonds that keep the heart imprisoned.
Pope Francis, meanwhile, offering prayers and support for Queen Elizabeth II over the death of her husband of 73 years, Prince Philip, in a letter sent to the Queen over the weekend, the Holy Father saying he was saddened to learn of the death of the Duke of Edinburgh and offered his heartfelt condolences to the Queen and the royal family. Prince Philip passing away on Friday at the age of 99. The Queen and the Prince have been married again for 73 years. In other news, in Minnesota City has been under an overnight curfew after police were called to clear out protesters. Minnesota Department of Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington speaking at a press conference.
There were reports of crowds, 100 to 200, that were marching toward the Brooklyn Center Police Department. We saw rocks and other objects thrown at the police department. There were reports of shots fired in the area of the police department.
The crowd began forming Sunday afternoon near where an officer shot and killed a man during a traffic stop. At one point, some were seen smashing windows and damaging police SUVs. The mother of the victim even got on a speaker and asked everyone to calm down. Hours later, officials declared the demonstration outside a police station an unlawful assembly and shut down public transit in the area. On the West Coast, in the Northwest, actually, federal agents in Oregon using pepper bullets to drive protesters away from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement building in Portland. Agents in crowd control gear scattering the protesters after some set temporary plywood barricades on fire on Saturday night. After pushing back the crowd, officers pulled burning debris away from the buildings, quickly putting it out and keeping the fire from spreading. A Mississippi senator saying President Biden's proposed tax hike would deal a major blow to small business job creations across the U.S.
I can't think of a worse tax to put on the American people than to raise taxes on small business job creators, which is what this bill would do.
Speaking on ABC's This Week, Roger Wicker touting the tax cut passed under the previous administration as its signature accomplishment. The Republican believes the 2017 tax package had more economic growth potential before COVID-19 struck last spring. The lawmaker saying he's meeting with the president today for what he hopes will be fruitful negotiations on the proposed infrastructure plan. Wendy Wild tells us some river and creek flooding is expected in parts of Iowa, including the Quad Cities in the southeastern area, after heavy rain this weekend.
3 3/4 inches was measured at Burlington, 2.8 inches at the Davenport Airport, and even more in Moline. 1.6 inches is reported at Iowa City, and a little over a half inch of rain fell in Cedar Rapids. In central Iowa, including Ames and Des Moines, only a trace.
Severe storms, meanwhile, targeting the south over the weekend, leaving at least 3 people dead, thousands without power. In Florida, a 17-year-old girl dying after stepping on a power line. Tornado warnings mostly ended yesterday after heavy rain and hail led to some street flooding. At least 2 people were killed Saturday in Louisiana, one after a tornado touched down in St. Landry Parish, another in Shreveport when a tree fell on a home. Property damage reported across Louisiana and the Florida Panhandle as well. Egyptian archaeologists are celebrating the discovery of a 3,000-year-old lost golden city.
For the first time ever, a lost city rising from the sand, buried for millennia, untouched, almost intact. Uncovered by Egypt's most famous archaeologist, Dr. Zahi Hawass, it's the largest industrial city ever found in Egypt.
Again, Egypt's Council of Antiquities, according to reporter Molly Hunter, calling to find the largest ancient city ever uncovered from under the desert sands. A team began excavation last fall, about 300 miles south of Cairo. And finally, in our news segment at almost 15 minutes past the hour on a Divine Mercy Monday, On EWTN, Rory O'Neill reports that today is a very important day in the history of human spaceflight.
60 years ago today, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human to launch into space. Exactly 20 years later, in 1981, Columbia launched as the first space shuttle.
We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
In 2003, Columbia and its crew of seven were lost. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded in 1986. In all, there were 135 shuttle missions before the program came to an end in 2011.
Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Big day, space travel. All right, it is just about, 15 minutes past the hour. It's a Monday, the Monday after Divine Mercy Sunday, a beautiful feast day in our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. You heard of some of the problems across the country in terms of weather, especially down south. Here's an update on the weather from the National Weather Service. Coast to coast on EWTN, accumulating wet snow expected for the next few days across the northern plains. High wind, snow, and blowing snow from a late season storm continuing to impact Alaska into the rest of the day today. And critical fire weather conditions will return to the southwest on Tuesday. And looks like we're still going to have a little bit of some rain down south as well, so keep that in mind. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Can't wait to talk with my dear friend, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. She has a new book out for grandmothers in particular. And she's also taking part in the conference that we're doing this weekend featuring a number of EWTN personalities such as Donna Marie, and you can register for free. It's listeningforgodconference.com or go to Ave Maria Radio's homepage and our slider at avemariaradio.net. You'll recognize many of the people from EWTN, including Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and many, many more. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Duro have partnered with one of the country's leading healthcare ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered healthcare. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Duro at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time, one to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage line. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. You know her well from her many series on EWTN, our dear sister in the Lord, author and speaker and EWTN host, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and she's joining me this weekend on our beautiful conference. You may register for free, listeningforgodconference.com, or go to our homepage at avemariaradio.net. Donna Marie, I was thinking the other day after we spoke that it was back in 2008 that we went to the Vatican together. Can you believe it was 13 years ago?
Good morning, Teresa. No, 13 years ago. It's unbelievable. Time flies.
I know. That was such an amazing experience.
So incredible.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congrats on your new books. I know that you've got one. There's several we could talk about because you're always busy writing, and we so appreciate your work. But you've got a really beautiful journal out for grandmothers, and I think this is awesome. Tell us about it.
Thank you so much. Well, it's called Prayerfully Waiting, A Catholic Grandmother's Prayer Journal. And I think it's important that I just mention quickly that, I'm a grandmother now of two grandsons, but I wrote a book called Prayerfully Expecting a 9-Month Novena for Mothers to Be many years ago. And it was one of my first books. And Mother Teresa wrote the foreword. And I wrote that on complete bed rest during a pregnancy. And I thought that mothers, expectant mothers, should have this prayer journal, you know, to guide them through to see a pregnancy as, you know, something more than just all the morning sickness and, you know, waiting for that baby and whatever else it was, but a beautiful time of prayer to, you know, to prepare for the for that baby. And so then, you know, I became inspired after I became a grandmother that grandmothers should have such a book that they could, you know, pray. They're so instrumental in helping to form the consciences of their little grandchildren. They pray for them all the time. But what about while the little baby is in the mommy's uterus, you know? So to pray for that unborn baby and to give the grandmother a journal to, and there's a ton of stuff in this book that maybe we'll talk about, but, you know, to give that grandmother that, you know, the teachings every month, the development of the baby, and a place to write her thoughts and her prayers and to really look at that pregnancy as a beautiful time, a novena, a 9-month novena of prayer. And that's what came to me when I wrote the one for the mothers. I realized this is a novena, a 9-month novena.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it.
Thank you.
So what's been the response so far from grandmas out there?
With the COVID and everything, I'm sorry to say that kind of puts a damper on a lot of things. So this book really didn't get the push or the splash yet out into the world that it was going to get. So it's really, I'm glad you were talking about it here this morning, because maybe it can be brought to people's attention that it is out, it is ready. Grandmothers could, I've gotten some wonderful feedback, but I think that it just isn't really known as much yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, can they, in terms of this book, in addition to thinking of it as a 9-month of novena when someone in your family, one of your grandchildren is, or what your children are expecting, you can use it after the birth too, correct?
Oh, yes, because each chapter is filled with teachings. And I also encourage the grandmother, you know, in the beginning of the book and the introduction and how to use the book, you know, to go back and to savor those pages, you know, not to just read it in one day or 2 days during that month, but if possible, each day of that month of that pregnancy, you know, to savor the, and to pray the prayers that I've given to them to pray that month and also later on. And it becomes a keepsake book. So with all of the things that she writes in there and in the beginning of the book, two places to put, you know, how you found out about the your unborn child, you know, the date, you know, the approximate due date, you know, the grandmother's name, of course, hopes for your grandchild, your first prayer for your unborn grandchild, things like that, and throughout the book. So later on, not only would it be nice to pick up and to read those prayers and to even read those teachings that you might kind of forget.
Right.
Time goes on to be reminded of this amazing, you know, communion of saints that we have that are leading the grandmother throughout this journey of prayer, but also to see what you've written on those pages, you know, a few years ago or whatever that might be. So it's a keepsake book as well as a teaching book, as well as a journal, and hopefully, you know, a real inspiration and retreat during that pregnancy.
And something I think would be great, especially with all the notes that you can take in a book like this, Donna Marie, to hand on to your grandchildren, say, look at how I was praying for you and look at how you were on my heart and my mind while you were forming in your mother's womb. I think
that's
awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that, Teresa, because that was my thought as well. But I don't know if the grandmother's going to want to give it up that easily. But hopefully, you know, she'll have her time with it. And then she passes it on to that beautiful grandchild. So each book, you know, it could be, I think she needs a book for each pregnancy because it's tailored to that one specific, unique individual, that unrepeatable life, you know. And I've given away several copies to my friends who have, who are grandmothers and who have babies on the way, grandbabies on the way. So, yes, I love that idea, and I encourage that as well to you know, gift it to that grandchild and think of how it will stir their heart, you know, years later, reading about how, you know, my grandmother, I only had one grandmother, one grandparent, because the others had passed away before I was born. And she was such a light to my life. And, you know, she really, you know, planted seeds of, helped those seeds of faith to grow in my heart because of her beautiful, loving Polish grandmother, you know, Catholic grandmother example. And, you know, so, and to see the words that your grandmother writes about your pregnancy years later, I think that would really stir someone's heart, you know. They might have strayed away a little bit, or they might have had different ideas as things go along with this crazy world we have. And then to read what their grandmother prayed for them can really, you know, affect their life, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great idea. And I think in this world where everything is always done through texting and email, not that we don't appreciate the social media and the ways we have to communicate, but to sit there and write something down, to journal and to write down your thoughts and your prayers for a child, you know, in the womb and what you're thinking as a grandmother, I think just is awesome. There's another book that's coming out in June I want to talk about. I don't know how you find the time to write all of these books. You've got me beat, I think, by 30. Every time I think I'm catching up, we always tease each other. You come out with another book. My dear friend, speaker and author Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, an EWTN host, will talk about her book, which is coming in June, Family Consecration to Jesus Through Mary. We'll be right back.
We are in conflict with the surrounding culture. What's happened? Well, one thing that's happened is the collapse of Christendom. We can no longer count on the society surrounding us to reinforce or hold up or give sanction to some of those basic rules by which we live. Richard John Neuhaus, before he became Father Richard John Neuhaus, in his book Naked Public Square, he pointed out that every major social reform in American history was always argued about and fought over in terms of God, Scripture, the church. And so the church and religion were the carriers of social reform. We may be at a place where that's no longer the case, given the redefinition of marriage and given the non-religious, anti-religious affiliation of leading homosexual activists.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights. Beginning with the right to life, the government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a beautiful Monday. Of course, yesterday we celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday, and I loved watching the coverage on EWTN, especially on not only on Sunday, of course, of all the events that they do from Stockbridge and elsewhere, but just some of the programs. And Doug had spoken of them on Friday. He does a segment on Catholic Connection, if you're a new listener, every Friday at 15 minutes past the hour, 9:15 Eastern Time. We call it the Inside Word. It gives us an update on what's going on in the network, and it was Divine Mercy 24/7 practically. And I was so grateful because on Saturday night, I was telling you earlier that Deacon Dom and I came home from dinner and watched one of the specials. And boy, you learn so much. You think you know a lot. And then, and you know, Donna Marie, you and I know this, but when you just start to really study the faith, it's like this whole world opens up and you're just scratching the surface, correct?
Yes, I know. And you feel like, wow, you might not know everything during your lifetime, but we want to learn more and more. And like my little student said, I believe, but I want to believe more. And I think that's so much what we should be, you know, desiring, to just learn more and more about our faith.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to send people, in order to learn more, to go to your website, because a ton of resources there, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. Again, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. And recent books that she's released, we just mentioned the Journal for the Grandmothers. Also, Family Consecration to Jesus Through Mary, 33 days of preparation with St. Louis Marie de Montfort. There's a lot of, I think of Donna Marie, the divine inspiration and intervention in terms of this book with the Holy Family, given the year of St. Joseph that was just declared not too long ago.
Yes, right? Yes. it really came to me. And, you know, I've studied Saint Faustina mm-hmm. so much and speak about her and write about her. And she said one time she had a vision, children coming to her and saying, you know, they were troubled and they needed prayers. And Jesus said, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. And Saint Faustina said, I realized then that my prayers alone would not be enough. She was praying and praying. And our children are up against so much these days. And I felt, this was during the writing of Family Consecration to Jesus through Mary. I felt inspired to make it a way for children 7 and up, age of reason, to be able to do the consecration, to protect them. It's more of a protection in this world today. So, and then to read what St. Faustina had said about the children, you know, prayers, of course, are very powerful, but it's not enough. We have to guide them in the faith. We have to teach them. We have to protect them from the bombardment of the ungodly culture. And I'm praying that this book, by the grace of God, will equip Catholic families to, you know, to let their children do the consecration when they're old enough. And it takes them through the whole, and I could stay true to St. Louis de Montfort, you know, the consecration, but put it in a way for families and gave them activities and culminating in a crowning of Mary in their domestic church. You know?
Yeah, there's so much that's out against families right now, but at the same time, there's also so much hope, and that's what we are an Easter people, and we want to keep people in the know about the things that are happening so they can pray about them and stand up against them. Yeah. But we can never give in to despair.
Never. Like St. John Paul II, our hero, said, we are the Easter people, and hallelujah mm-hmm. is our song.
Right, absolutely. And especially if you think about the miracles around the Divine Mercy, there were some things, and I've been there more than once, and I didn't even know half the different little inside facts and inside stories that were shared on this wonderful documentary that was on Saturday night on EWTN. It was just fascinating what happened.
Yes, unbelievable. And it just gives you chills, you know. And, oh, gosh, anytime I see that or learn more, research more on my writings on Divine Mercy. And as I mentioned to you, I feel so blessed to be part of the Divine Mercy Catholic Bible that's just coming out mm-hmm. from the Congregation of Marian Fathers. They asked me to write 2 major articles for that Bible. And so it's just incredible, and Divine Mercy is so, so important. And our Lord, you know, calls us to His mercy now instead of, you know, to His divine justice later. And it's not only for our own souls to be saved. We can't just try to get this heaven by the skin of our teeth.
Right.
Our job really, you know, as you're doing there so amazingly, you know, and we're all called to, is to bring everyone to God's amazing and unfathomable mercy, you know, starting in our own families and our neighbors, communities, and complete strangers. And, you know, just picking our heads up off of our devices, our phones, and just looking into the eyes of the person that just happens to be standing there, and a smile or a kind word can really be transforming. And that's a work of mercy, a little work of mercy.
Yeah.
God calls us to His mercy and to be, you know, givers of His mercy, to be people who will be gentle and loving and gracious and merciful to others.
I think the problem is that we don't hear enough about, or we don't open ourselves up, or we forget. You know, for example, I had an interesting email from my producer about one of the well-known atheists whose name escapes me right now, who's talking about the Eucharist being madness. And, you know, we see these stories and we forget. And I wrote back and I said, well, then call me crazy, because I believe, number one, and number two, I wonder what he would say. He's probably not familiar at all with all of the evidence for the Eucharistic miracles, especially, for example, in Lanciano in Italy, where they have a whole museum downstairs, a display dedicated to the studies that went on with these medical experts that had no idea what they were examining, and then came back with these reports about it being real living tissue and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's phenomenal. We don't have time to go into it. But we have to remind people of the miracles that occur, and the biggest, of course, the resurrection, that Jesus kept His word.
Absolutely. And also even the opportunity to reach out to a person like that who's bitter or full of hatred or whatever. I don't know who that person is you're speaking about, but I encounter this kind of thing at times. And even, we don't have time to talk about it, but just real quickly, even this nasty letter I received, I did a blog post about it recently, and it's an opportunity to be loving to that person. And they might have so much pain in their life that just, you know, giving them the truth, like you're saying, pointing out the facts and that kind of thing in a loving way can really be very helpful. So God gives us so many opportunities to teach, you know, to present the truth and to, you know, in little ways, you know, be loving and serving, and that can really help a person too. So, and prayers, of course, and offering penance, because some, you know, some people are just full of hatred because of deep wounds
deep
or whatever.
Wounds. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And to remind them that the mercy is new every morning, as it says in Scripture, but the bigger the sin, the greater the mercy, as Jesus told St. Faustina. So in addition to being a part of our Listening for God conference this weekend, and I'm so grateful for your contributions, because you also did a panel discussion with us that'll be running live this weekend. What else are you working on, Donna Marie?
Oh, what else?
Well, what else? In your spare time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I can say this publicly now. I'm so blessed to be able to put out another book. I have 52 weeks with St. Faustina, with the Marians, Marian Press, and that's out, and it's been really striking a chord with people, men and women. It's for everyone. But now I have one, Divine Mercy in a Woman's Life, Milestones Along the Way, a hefty book, another really big book, bigger than that one, I think, bigger than 52 weeks. It'll be coming out, Lord willing, before the end of the year with the Marians, and just, you know, very, very blessed to have been able to write that, carrying my St. Faustina relic with me at all times, visiting the shrine in Stockbridge when I could.
I love that shrine. I want to come back. Deacon Dom hasn't been there yet, and God willing, we're hoping to come back in the summer. And then hopefully, you can come and we can
have
dinner together. I know, it's just phenomenal. Donna Marie, thank you, sweetheart, and thank you for being a part of Listening for God conference. And Donna Marie is also going to be one of our live panelists this weekend, so check it out. You can register for free at AveMariaRadio.net. It's in the slider, and we'd appreciate your support also for all Catholic radio stations that have their drives right now in the spring, and of course, EWTN. We'll be right back with Dr. Peter Kraft coming up. Stay tuned.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Into what we've been talking about this morning, this brand new book, a collection of essays from our dear friend, a philosopher, author, speaker, convert, Dr. Peter Kraft, How to Destroy Western Civilization and Other Ideas from the Cultural Abyss. Dr. Kraft, always great to have you on the program. Happy Easter and a good Divine Mercy Monday to you. Let's talk about, I'm particularly interested in the chapter about number two, What Can Chicken Little Do? Because oftentimes with all the negativity out there, we can feel like, well, maybe it's thou dost protest too much and the sky is falling. But if you look around at what's happening, in our civilization. And even just last week, I can pick from a number of different stories in the news where we can see a continued attack on basic, not only our basic belief system and religious freedoms, but also common sense. So while you're laying out what's going on, you're also giving us hope in this book, correct?
Of course. And what Chicken Little can do when the sky is falling, as it is essentially the same thing C.S. Lewis said in a 1941 interview in Time magazine. He had just published the Screwtape Letters and become famous. And they asked him this question. You're at war now with Nazi Germany, and there's a rumor that they have a bomb called the atomic bomb, and one such bomb could destroy London. If that were true, and you saw the bomb falling on your beloved England, and it was about to wipe out everything you loved, what would your last thought be? And they expected something profound and pious, and he said, I would stick my tongue out at that bomb and say, pooh, you're only a bomb, I'm an immortal soul, so there.
And I think right now what I hear from a lot of people is they're allowing themselves, and I think we all sometimes can get into the bad habit of doing this, of being consumed with a negativity and then forgetting, for example, the many miracles, starting with the resurrection. And then even yesterday in celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday, I was struck, I was watching one of the specials over the weekend on EWTN, about how many mini miracles were associated with not only the painting of the image, but the preservation of it and the life of St. Faustina. So kind of walk us through in terms of some of the other encouragements you're giving people regarding what's happening with civilization.
Well, it's nothing very original. God's in his heaven, even though all's not right with the world. And divine providence deliberately allows us to plunge the roller coaster down in order to make it go up again. That has happened repeatedly in history, and it's happening again. So things are normal, all fouled up.
So do you think it's worse now than it was, say, you know, 20, 40 years ago, or are we just seeing more of it because of the vast expansion of the media, or is it both?
Well, of course. I think a line has been crossed in not just the cancel culture, but in legislation against hate crimes. There are thought crimes now. An evangelical couple was denied their children in England about a decade ago simply because they confessed that they believed everything in the Bible, including its proscription against sodomy. They weren't doing anything about it. They just thought that. So their children were taken away, their foster children.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Kraft and his latest book, How to Destroy Western Civilization, published by our friends at Ignatius Press, and we'll have a link to it in the religious catalog as well as the AveMariaRadio.net bookstore. One of the things that concerns me as a media person, one of my listeners just sent me a survey, and it showed that there are quite a few people who don't trust the media anymore, but you would think that the statistics, Peter, would be much higher, Dr. Kraft, because of how bad the media bias is and the misinformation. And yet it still says that about only 58% of people think that the media are biased. Now, I would think with all the bias out there that it would be much higher than that. But it seems that too many people, even in the church, are believing what's fed to them through secular outlets. Your thoughts?
Well, I certainly don't want to appear to be a snob, but that's always been the case. Most of us are pretty darn stupid about something or other.
Well, that, you know what? That's a good point, because I think I spend a lot of my time, and trying to tell people, don't believe everything you see in the press. For example, we even have now, I'm sure you heard the story last week regarding this quote-unquote commission to study the restructuring of the Supreme Court, otherwise maybe packing it. And even liberal Justice Breyer has come out against that, and he gave a talk last week at Harvard. Now the left wants him, and there's a big campaign already underway to have him step down and retire.
Yeah, it surprises me to see sparks of sanity still in our culture. Stephen Breyer's statement, for instance. And it also surprises me to see how far the insanity has gone, the reaction against what he said. I guess I'm just naive. I expected people to be fairly normal. But we're surprised at little miracles, and we're surprised at little holocausts.
So in terms of the collection of essays, I've got the table of contents in front of me, but at the end of the day, I always like to ask authors, because I ask myself this question whenever I'm putting together a book, is what do you want people to get, and what would you say would be some of your action items for them after getting a copy of How to Destroy Western Civilization and reading the collection of essays that you have?
once again, nothing terribly original. Hope, God's in his heaven. Mother Teresa's famous quote, God did not put me here to be successful, but to be faithful.
Okay. Why do you think, in addition to the media, because this is what I always try to tell people, I mean, we just celebrated Easter, we're in the Easter season, we think about the miracles associated with, for example, St. Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy Sunday, and then we look at the readings right now, Dr. Kraft. I mean, we're reading a lot from the Acts of the Apostles, and you had these band of disciples that were scared for their lives, and then they have this change. And now we're reading them going out and about and preaching the gospel, knowing that they could very well be martyred, and many of them, most of them were. So why aren't we more like that? I mean, I know this is a very broad question and an age-old question, but I want people to remember where we came from and our roots, and I know you do too.
Well, only saints can change the world, because only saints allow God to change the world, and the only reason we're not saints is that deep down we don't want to be.
There's explain
no
a little bit
why
that.
Everybody. Well, to be a saint is a matter of the will. It's not a matter of innate talents. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of political connections. Just let God have his way. Just open the door to your soul to God, and he'll come in and transform it and transform your life.
How important?
If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we're all cowards. We're a little scared of being a saint. Otherwise, we'd be one.
Yeah, that's a good point. In terms of how we go about this, in addition to obviously having faith in our faith, our Catholic faith, what else can we do? Is it mainly sharing stories to be a saint? What does that mean? Because I think one of the best ways to evangelize is by sharing your own journey.
Yeah, and I was amazed by a poll that I read a few days ago. Catholics are the religious group in America who are the least confident in sharing their faith.
Wow.
Least.
Did it give reasons as to why, that particular survey that you saw?
No, it was just statistics. Statistics don't give reasons. They just give data.
So where do you think that is?
But at least, well, that's something we can change. That's not something we just wring our hands about and say, oh, dear, we can't do anything about it. The sky is falling.
So do you think as a convert, do you think it's because we're not told enough to share our faith, or that we're so used to getting spoon-fed, a combination of things? What do you think?
It's a combination of that. Whatever the cause, it's like a disease. You wipe out the cause, you wipe out the effect. So when you see the obstacles to doing what we're all commanded to do, to share our faith, preach the gospel, that's not just for clergy. Well, whenever you see an obstacle to that, I remember the line from an old Protestant hymn, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee.
Mm. So what keeps you going day in and day out?
God, of course. Same thing that keeps the whole world going. It's certainly not I that keep myself going. I'm not a perpetual motion machine.
No, but I mean, I'm specifically, because we can all say that, yes, I have Jesus, I have God, but people want to know someone like you who is an amazing philosopher, who teaches, you're a convert, you put out great books, but are there particular things, aspects of the faith? I mean, there's reasons you came into it, obviously, but is it the Eucharist? Is it the saints? Is it the you know, Catholic, a core Catholic teachings that we have? Is it a combination of things for you?
Well, I think above all, it's the historical sense that God is in charge of history. And history is an amazing story of wins and losses. It's like a 164 game baseball season. No matter what team you're on, there are going to be losses. So losses aren't final, and there's still plenty of time ahead of us, apparently. And if not, that's even better. Then Christ is coming soon.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you working on now? Is there another book in the works?
Writing a bunch of homily helpers for Bishop Barron's Word on Fire to follow the 3-year liturgical cycle, and that's an exciting project.
Awesome. When will that be available?
Starting next year, the first series, I think.
All right. Well, we'll look for that through the Word on Fire ministry and, of course, the work of our friend who's with us this morning, Peter J. Kraft. And the book that we're talking about right now is How to Destroy Western Civilization and Other Ideas from the Culture Abyss. Of course, he is a well-known convert, speaker, teacher, author, professor of philosophy at Boston College, and one of the most respected Christian authors and thinkers of our time. Dr. Crave, happy Easter to you, and thank you so much for your great work, including this collection of essays, which really gives us, you know, going back to the basics in terms of, you know, as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun, and there really isn't. We just have to remember whom we serve in this great church we're a part of, and all the great saints that went before us. Thank you so much.
Indeed. You're welcome.
All right. God bless. Yes, you too. And have a great week. And we'll be right back. Speaking of the truth of the faith, Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International gives us a beautiful look at how to understand Scripture, take it in our daily lives. And she every week has a verse. We give you a Bible verse of the week. And as I always say, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And remember, as Dr. Kraft was saying, the Catholic faith is universal, and that word doesn't apply just to us. We say universal because the teachings are for everyone, because they reflect the dignity of the human person made in God's image and likeness, and of course, that encompasses the natural law and a heck of a lot of common sense, which we know isn't so common anymore. We'll be right back.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time. One to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
We're going to throw it right to Gail Buckley, who will also be speaking at our Listening for God conference this weekend with our scripture verse of the week. What's the verse today for this week, Gail? Good morning.
Today it's from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, and it says, "He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting two small copper coins. He said, 'Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for out of all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she has put in out of her poverty, has put in all she had.'" So in the time of Jesus, during Passover week, as you know, Teresa, people would come from all over to Jerusalem, to the temple, and with their offerings. And inside the temple, along the walls, there were receptacles where the people would drop their gifts. And those who were rich usually put in a lot of money, and in many cases, they likely tried to make sure other people would see what they were doing as well, you know, to show off. Remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others." He was primarily talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who liked to make a big show of how generous they were so that people would be impressed. But God wasn't impressed with them, but he knew their hearts, and he knew that they were more concerned with the praise of men than of God. But in today's verse, we read about this poor widow woman who Jesus noticed while he was at... And the scripture tells us that she only put in these two small copper coins, very little money. But Jesus, who knows everything because he's God, he knew that that was all the money she had, in fact, her last cent. So he pointed this out to his apostles. And when, you know, when we speak about a widow's mite, we usually mean all offering.
this nameless widow, her mite represented not just a small offering, but everything she had. And I think we can learn a lesson from this, a lot of lessons, actually. The fact that she gave everything speaks volumes. First of all, it shows that she gave from her heart, and it shows that she had this deep faith in God, that she trusted that he would provide for her. And with true devotion, she gave all that she earned, and then she probably went out and had some menial job that she did to earn enough money to live off of for the next time, you know, for another week. And she might have even had children. We don't know, to provide for. We don't know that. But it's how we give that counts. That's the lesson we can learn here. Just as Jesus gave himself for us, this widow gave all that she had and apparently surrendered it gladly. And that's another thing we hear in Scripture all the time, is that God loves a joyful giver. And he's watching us. As it says in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the evil and the good. So we need to remember to put God first, not to worry about what men think and what people think and try to impress others, but we need to put God first and have him at the center of our lives and do what is good in his eyes.
Yeah, and thinking that we can fool God by what we're doing,
right.
We have to remember that God is God and we are not.
That's right.
All right, my dear, thank you for your great contributions and for helping us with the conference. Give us your website for Catholic Scripture Study International.
CSSprogram.net.
All right,
I'm looking forward to the conference.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to your talks, and I continue to look forward to your great work with helping Catholics embrace Scripture every single day. We'll be back tomorrow on a Tuesday. Remember, support EWTN and your local Catholic radio station. See you Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.